Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Hey, this is Jacob Stitch-Duran here. And if you guys really want to listen to the good talk, listen to the Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from. MMAtothemax.net. From where to see the big fight to where is the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMAtothemax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You are listening to The Roman Show. AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Man, every time I listen to the song, it just gets me pumped, man. Welcome to the Roman Show on this August 8th edition. And, man, we are feeling more than pumped. We are feeling amped because tonight we got a full-fledged program featuring three guests, former UFC fighter Wagner Osha, UFC fighter James Head, and finally, with big breaking news, you're going to hear it exclusively here on the Roman Show, UFC fighter Hector Lombard speaks after his loss at the last pay-per-view. And trust me, folks, Hector has a lot to say. Many negative comments have been out there, but he's going to set the record straight tonight here on The Roman Show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, at RomanDH, hashtag Roman Show. And you can follow all the action right there. Call in live, 714-868-0222, or join us in the chat room and state whatever you want. But joining me tonight, Rando Villafaña, Mr. Professional, is on vacation today. But according to this gentleman from also El Octagono, we've upgraded for tonight a co-host, and that's Mr. Camilo Ortiz. How are you,
How's it going, Rodolfo, man? It's always a pleasure to talk to you, man.
Same here now. So you came to say that now we've upgraded since we have you now on the show?
Man, you know I didn't say that. You're always starting stuff up, man. You know, Randall, he's the specialist in the show. I'm just here, you know, trying to put my two cents into all the stuff that we're going to talk about tonight.
Well, we got a lot of stuff happening tonight. Heck, I know we're going up against Olympics and the Showtime event right now, so it's okay. If you're not listening live right now, it's cool, because I know most of you guys are going to listen to the archive. And guys, I mean, it's a big stuff that we got tonight. I want to make sure to let you guys know, as far as the guests that we got coming up next week, we're going to have Abel Trujillo, who fought for CFA and has been signed with the UFC. He'll be on the program next Wednesday. so make sure that you tune in and don't miss a second of it. Also coming up in on the Tuesday show, Randall, I'm so used to calling you Randall. Camilo.
Yes.
Were you a big bodybuilding fan by any chance?
You know what? If you take a good look at me, you would think that I am because, you know, all the muscles. But, nah, man, actually, I have an appreciation for those guys, all the hard work that they've done. We've seen shows like on MTV's Real Life and, you know, where they follow certain guys around. And it's amazing what these guys do, but I've never really myself followed the sport.
Well, let me just tell you, man, maybe you do know, although you haven't followed it step by step, but Ronnie Coleman, Mr. Olympia, will be on the Broman show in September. Ronnie Coleman, when you take a look at this guy, you're going to be like, holy moly. I mean, he's the 2012 version of Arnold Schwarzenegger, or he was in the early 2000s. Because he won Mr. Olympia a whole bunch of times. But he'll be on the program, he'll be on the Roman show. On the 22nd of August, Justin Lawrence will be on the Roman show. And he'll be talking about his fight in the UFC. So make sure you tune in. We have a nice little lineup there for you as we get ready for the next pay-per-view, obviously this Saturday, and then following after that September 1st, which is one thing, Camilo, that I've noticed, and I was part of the conference call last week with Benson and Edgar, that people asked them, do you feel that they've kind of taken away the light from your fight, considering that John Jones fights on the 1st, and we had the UFC on Fox? But what is your opinion on that, Camilo?
As far as the UFC event this weekend?
No, as far as, yeah, they're taking too much of the light, some folks say. They're not doing too much promotion as it seems to be for the Hendel and Jones fight.
You know what the thing is, that I think they've gotten a bit comfortable with their fan base, that they know that people are going to tune in because this is going to be a really good fight card. The promotion, yeah, maybe they haven't promoted it as much, you know, being the fact that the Olympics are going on at the same time, you know, doesn't really help, I guess, you know, to advertise. But I don't know. It's one of those events that, you know, people are going to watch. It's even though you might not hear too much about it on the radio or on TV, but it's definitely going to be watched by not just fans. You know, obviously, you know, the people who are, you know, at home looking to see something good, they're gonna run into it. And you know, the day of and the day before, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all those things are going to blow up. We're already starting to see a lot of interviews coming out through YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I think they'll do okay. But yeah, they haven't really promoted it as much as, you know, a lot of other events.
And it seems kind of like a quiet but yet good card, because you got, you know, the Henderson and Edgar for the lightweight title, and you have Gallard and Cerrone as a co-main event, Shields and Ed Herman, Okami versus Roberts, Lawrence versus Holloway, and this is just the main card itself that's going to be on pay-per-view, and then the rest of the preliminary card, which will be on FX, with Bermudez and Hayden, Hammond and Michael Cooper and Perez versus Stone, and Lentz versus Eiji Mizuka. I got to work on my Japanese and Chinese and all of that stuff. And then the prelims on Facebook, Paige versus Camus. So it's kind of those quiet yet deadly cards that always seems to surprise us, which I personally think that UFC and Fox last Saturday was just a phenomenal show. What about you, Camilo?
Yeah, the UFC on Fox, they did awesome. You know, going back again to the same thing with the Olympics, that was one of the fears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the reports that I've seen, the ratings, they were pretty good. It didn't really hurt them as much as people thought that it would. And this card, I think this card's gonna be awesome. I mean, what we saw in UFC on Fox 4 was awesome. I think it was probably their best UFC card by now. I mean, they've only had 4, but I think that was their best UFC card so far. And coming from that, from the UFC 149, which Dana White, you know, calls it the unicorn of the UFC, which comes out, you know, very rarely, which is a horrible card, you know, because of, you know, bad fights or the fights weren't as good as people expected it to be. So the UFC on Fox 4 delivered. I think all the fights were awesome.
They were, man. I all of that. And, maybe, you know, I personally myself underestimated Vera and Shogun. What a fight, man. And kudos to Vera, man. He stepped up there and he gave it his all. You know that this guy wanted that title shot.
You know what? And I think Vera won a lot of fans. Not just because of the way he performed, but the way he acted after. You know, he was he was very emotional. He was crying. He was thanking Mauricio Rua. He was mad. You know, you were one of my heroes. Thank you so much for the fight. You know, hopefully we'll be able to do it again. And you know, even Dana White said, you know, Vera's not going anywhere soon. You know, this is a guy that was, you know, that used to have all the hype around him. You know, this is the guy that if he keeps on showing up, you know, he's a threat to the division.
Yeah, he is, and kudos to him. And I just want to throw out there this guy: if you want to win some money, learn
who,
how
me?
To text. Yeah, check this out. You got to learn how to text, because a 17-year-old girl won $50,000 for being the fastest text typer. You want to call it? There you go. You want to win some cash? She texted, and you know, she had a whole competition out there, and she won $50,000. You believe that
wow.
stuff? $50,000 for being the fastest typist on text.
Wow, that sounds like a contest that would only happen in the Roman show.
Yes, I just want to throw that in there because I found it so interesting. And, you know, it's like, well, let's take a quick phone call here before we move on to Wagner Motion. Caller, you're on the air on the Roman show. Hello, caller?
Hello?
Hello? Hey, caller, you're on the air on the Roman show.
Hey, hello? Roman.
Hello?
Roman, it's Hector.
Who's that?
Hector.
Oh, Hector. Hey, Hector. Coming a little early. How are you?
I'm good, brother.
Good. Well, Hector, welcome to the show. Obviously, you had that last fight. A lot of people, and you know, and Hector, I know how and you and I, you know, you and I, we've spoken many times. I think the last time I spoke to you in person was when you were at the Bellator, and you even sent out a little message there to those that weren't too much or supported you, to what you call your haters, but. First and foremost, I must say that the news is that you posted up on Facebook that you were injured. Can you verify exactly what happened?
Well, when I was training for the fight, I was feeling that I had like a strong pain in my chest, but you know, I didn't want to stop or go to the doctors or anything like that, and then. I was coughing all the time at the gym, like at the point I was irritated for the trainers, for everybody, because I had like a very strong pain in my chest, and at the same time I was feeling like I had that pressure in it, which, you know, it wasn't normal to me, but I didn't went to the doctors or anything like that. But you know, when you fight, you know, you push yourself a little bit more than what is unusual, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So after the fight, I saw myself like, you know what, something's not right here. And then the next day, the very next day, I told my fiance just to go to the doctor and set up an appointment because something wasn't right, especially after my terrible performance, which is, you know, like, you know, as you can see in a couple of times in the fight, you know, I had the opportunity to finish the guy and sort of like I stopped because, you know, something in my body didn't want to let it go. Some people think that it was because of the pressure of my first fight in the UFC or stuff like that, but it wasn't. So I got my test and I went to different doctors. I went to a doctor in Canada and the guy said, man, you have a fracture in your sternum. know, I never heard about that. I didn't know what was, you know, external. So he told me that, you know, the sternum, you know, and stop the breathing and your performance. And he even told me, like, I don't even know how you can run because most of the people can't even walk. I got back here and I went to Tampa. I went to see a couple of specialists and they told me the same thing. I did the X-ray, I did the MRI, and then we sent all the results to the UFC. And but I honestly I didn't know that I had that. I would have pulled off the fight, but you know, after my performance, which is, you know, wasn't the best, and I recognize that, you know, I took a look at all my situation and my health and stuff like that, and I realized that I needed to go to the doctors, and when I went to the doctors, I found out that.
We can see that injury takes a while. It's slow to heal. It's nothing that you can recuperate in a week or two.
Yeah, they believe that I had it about, you know, a month, 4 weeks, between 4 and 5 weeks. And it's going to take me another 6 weeks to start training. Yeah, so right now it's just recovering and stuff like that.
So you went out there not knowing this stuff, and you still fought through those three rounds, and many people did not know that. Looking back, knowing that if you would have known prior to your fight that you had this injury, would you have called the fight?
I definitely would have called up the fight. Even the guys at the gym, they were, like, irritated because I constantly was coughing and something wasn't right. I thought it was the flu because I got the flu, you know, I had the flu for 2 weeks and I thought it probably was the flu, but it wasn't. Because, you know, at this time of the year, I know that I always get sick because, you know, the change from winter to summer. And everybody at the gym gets sick, you know, between last month and this month, you know, sort of like a change in the weather. And everybody gets sick. So I thought, probably the flu. But and then it didn't go away. And then it was even worse.
Yeah, and you can definitely see that in Camilo. I'm sure that you saw it yourself. Cause, you know, we're used to seeing you fight out there and you're attacking. You throw your punches, but it seemed like you threw it and you went back, and you could definitely see it in your fighting stance there, Hector. And it's amazing that you were able to do that. I mean, you definitely put your career and your body on the line.
Right. And for those that they don't know what the sternum is, it's a bone who protects the heart. It's the one which is right in front of your chest. And if you break the sternum, you can actually die.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's not a joking game. And most of the people who have car accidents, when they broke the sternum go through the heart and slash it to pieces. So it's not a joke injury. It's a pretty serious.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Hector. This is Camilo from El Octagono. And the people who know, who have seen you fight before, even Joe Rogan was saying, you know, there's something wrong with Hector. He's not the same guy. Now that obviously, you know, we know that there was something really wrong with you, is it frustrating to hear that people were saying, he was just hype, or maybe he should move down in weight class? How frustrating is it to hear that type of stuff when people don't even really know that how serious the situation was?
Yeah, I knew it was pretty serious because, you know, like I know the way I fight, and I know, like, I let it go when I'm in the fight. I just let it go. And for some reason, something is stopping me. It was like a weird, and I couldn't understand what was it. And then just right after that fight, I told my fiance and my people, like, you know, I need to go to the doctors tomorrow and check myself up fully. And that was what come up. Respect about, you know, people. I don't really want to know about negative stuff. I gotta focus in my career. I gotta focus to heal up. About the weight, I'm not gonna go to 170. First of all, because I can't make it. You know, yes, I understand I'm short, but I'm all muscle. You know, I have no fat on me. I mean, if I would be short and fat, yes, probably I would go to 170. But you know, I have zero fat, and if you see the photos of me at the weighing, you can see that it's just I have no fat at all. But you know, probably people saying that I should go to 170 because I'm short. But I feel pretty strong in that way. As you can see the flyer, Tim Bosch is one of the biggest 185 up there, and he just basically ran away from me the whole fight. Even though that I was sick and that I had that issue, he was basically just running away from some kicks. That the kicks didn't land him. The landing in my knee, that I broke it with my knee, and he actually broke his foot. But I feel strong in that weight category, and I'm gonna stay there. You know. You know, things happen for a reason. You know, I have to learn from this loss, and this loss have humbled me a little bit, and we go from there.
Absolutely, I'm sure you definitely learn from that. One thing, Hector, how do you think you got this injury?
Well, I believe it was in training. It's very common. Like, a lot of people get it, you know, because if you get hit in the right place, just right in the middle on the left side, you can just, you know, fracture. And it's a very easy place to injure. And I didn't even knew about it. I thought that I have heart problems, because I was every day with pain in my chest, and I'm like, wow, just I think that I'm having a heart attack or something. That I'm gonna have a heart attack or something. Even after the fight, I thought that, wow, I think my career is over, because I think I have a heart problem or something. And it wasn't that. It was like the mass on top there was some stretching, but
wow, Camilo.
I mean,
yeah. No, I mean it's crazy to hear that, and especially, you know, hearing from you, like all the emotions, you know, from thinking that you were gonna have a heart attack to your possibly like, and you know, the end of your career. And you said that this experience humbled you a lot. Do you feel that maybe now you have an opportunity to maybe, I guess, show people who you really are? A lot of people, you know, like you know, I was saying, they were saying maybe it was the octagon jitters and all this stuff. And now that this facts came out that obviously you were injured, you have the opportunity to I guess redeem yourself in a way by showing people that, listen, that was a Hector Lombard that was injured. You haven't seen the real Hector Lombard yet.
Yeah, I mean, like time will tell. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'd rather just heal up and go back to training and show what I can do in the fight, and rather than say like I'm going to do that or whatever. Yeah, that's my plan right now, just recover and train hard as I can and win my next fight.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Roman. No, I was gonna ask you, before you fought Tim Boyd, there was a lot of, you know, title shot opportunities being talked about, but there was a fight that you said, you know, aside from a possibility of, you know, fighting Anderson Silva, that you were interested in fighting Mark Munoz. Is that still something that you wanna, you know, pursue, or are you just focusing in healing up and, you know, waiting for whatever?
100%, I think that can be possible because, you know, when I recover and he will be recovered as well because I think he got injured. He got a couple stitches after his fight. So I think that fight can happen. Another guy who I want to fight is Bisping. Don't know if that's going to happen. But anyways, too. Any of those two guys, I would love to fight.
Wow. Michael Bisping is. Lumbar would be a great one, too. Definitely for that, Hector. But one thing I'd like to say, why? Because prior to this, they started mentioning that you were probably going to fight Silva. But why? What happened there between you and Munoz? Why did you call him out?
Well, I called him out because he's been talking a lot of crap about me. And, you know, I mean, like, I don't understand this martial artist, you know, like, you know, they all jump and saying stupid stuff for no reason. I'm not gonna talk about him. I just, you know, I would like to have the opportunity to face him in the cage and go from there. I don't like to talk. I would like to just you know, put the word out there. If, you know, UFC can give me that fight, I will be very grateful.
Gotcha. And Hector, tell us about going and stepping into that UFC cage. You know, I remember one day speaking to you and you were telling me, you know, one day I'm going to get there, and you surely heck did. What went through your mind? Was it just another fight for you? What went through your mind that night?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, when you in the fight mode, you know, you don't even see how many people is in the venue. I mean, you just focus on one thing, and you just focus on your goal, get in the cage and perform. I didn't realize, you know, anything else. I was there and ready to go. Like I say, you know, some people think that it was because I wasn't used to that many people, but I've been fighting longer than anybody, you know, and not only that, I'm an Olympian, you know. Since I was little, I've been competing and with, you know, with the big crowds and stuff like that. So that, I like it. I like all that. So you can believe me that, you know, in a step for me to made me smaller, made me bigger when I see a lot of people in the crowd and stuff like that.
Right.
Unfortunately, I didn't perform due to injury and stuff, but I have another chance and I can prove, you know, what I'm all about.
And speaking of the Olympics, if you're an Olympian yourself, have you been catching up with the Olympics and the judo? And what's your opinion on some of the talent that's on there right now?
I mean, it's very impressive. Talking about Cuba, you know, Cuba is so little country, you know, small population, and just getting one medal is amazing. So Cuba is down pretty well, you know, at the moment. We got two medals in the men's, and you know, I mean, like that's very, very impressive to me.
Do you miss Do you miss participating in the Olympics? You know, that whole experience that you get to go and travel and represent a whole country rather than, you know, like in an MMA fight, you're just pretty much, you know, representing yourself and your family, obviously. But do you miss that, you know, representing one whole country?
I mean, you represent your country as well in MMA, believe it or not. Because, you know, when you're fighting, it's a lot of people who have the same nationality, who they feel that, you know, they feel represented by. But in my particular case, I don't miss the Olympics because I had to cut so much weight. Like suppose that I was weighing, I used to weigh at that time about 93 kilos. And I used to go from 93 kilos to 73 kilos. I used to cut 20 kilos, and I ended up pissing blood, and I used to get really, really sick.
Wow.
And I asked the coach to change my category to 81 kilos, and he didn't want him, so. Whatever the coach says is what goes. So, didn't happen.
That's almost 40 pounds you lost there.
Yeah. It was pretty hard. I remember that I had like 4 days in the free and stuff like that. It's funny because Romero, you know, Joel Romero, I don't know if you know him. He used to be with me at the national team, and he texted me when I was cutting weight for the fight, and he was saying like, "This is nothing," because I remember they used to be in the, you know, cutting weight from 4 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock every day, because our coach used to weigh us every day, and I was like, I used to wake up every day 4 o'clock in the morning. Around for 2 hours, shake my weight and start training again.
Wow.
Normal classes.
Incredible, Hector. Hector, I got a question here from one of our fans, Giovanni, who says that he bugs you a lot on Twitter, but he wants to say God bless, and he wants to ask a question that says the question is, do you recommend any good Cuban or Latin food in Australia?
You know, that's funny because, you know, I was... You know, I never heard of any place, to be honest, that they have a Cuban place. I don't know if they have made anyone yet, but since I've been living there, I never see one place where they have like a Cuban restaurant or anything like that. When I came from Australia, I remember that I asked Ricky. I take me to La Carreta all the time. I was eating day and night at La Carreta. Every day.
Yeah.
I was eating for 2 weeks straight. I didn't went to any other place. I was eating at La Carreta every day. Because I miss the food so much that I need to just get over that how you call it?
Like,
I was craving for it.
amazing, Hector. And Hector, now, so you're going to heal a little bit. I mean, it's roughly, can we expect you next year or later this year?
I mean, like I say, I'm just going to do my best. How many times you see people there? They say, I'm going to take the world and I'm gonna do this and I'm going to do that and never happen, you know. I'm gonna prove it and I'm going to do it and I'm gonna try to do my best. And before you guys go, I wanna say like you guys are amazing. Because you know, you guys do interviews with fighters and I've been listening to you guys for quite a while. And you guys never put anybody else or anybody down or anything like that. You guys do the interviews, and I believe like there's a lot of reporters up there that they have to pull fighters and they have to pull people down in order for them to keep their show going. I believe that you guys do an amazing job, and that's the only thing that I want to say.
No, thank you, Hector. I appreciate that. Just one more question before you leave. You keep posting these pictures of you in a camera. So do you want to be a cameraman when you retire from MMA, or is this something you do on the hobby, as a hobby?
I really like that job, you know, like take recording and stuff and the video production is pretty interesting to me, and you go to different places and you get to meet a lot of people. And you know, I mean, like I feel fascinated about that. But you know what the future holds, you know.
And you edit too?
Huh?
You edit too as well? You edit video?
No, yeah, I'm in my learning process.
Well, I'll make sure if anything is just shoot me an email. I'll tell you some of the pro Adobe editing systems. Camilo too can help you out. He can help you out with the sound stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the whole photo editing stuff. It's tough, but it's definitely if you have a passion for it, I'm sure you'll pick it up quick.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. You know, and if you have any more news about anything else or whatever, you know, I'll call you guys first.
Awesome.
So I have a lot of respect for you guys.
Thank you, Hector. We really appreciate it, and thank you so very much, and God bless, and thank you again to Lauren, too. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
There you go. Camilo, after that, I think I'm going to go to La Carreta, too.
Yeah, man. They need a sponsor him.
Yeah, they right.
They need to cough up some money for him, because you know, it's not that often that you hear Hector endorse a product so well, and then, you know, like Carreta's really good too, man. They got
it
a good food.
I love the coffee, man. There's nothing like going out there. You get a dollar, and you get a cortadito with some café, and you're good to go. I don't do the toast or anything like that, or any of the medianoches. Because you don't want to eat that stuff. It's totally bad for you. But every now and then you can cheat, you know? But,
yeah.
My different side. Not with that?
My thing is La Ropa Vieja, Arroz Imperial, all that stuff, all that good stuff.
Well, you're from Colombia, so, but and I'm from, you know, my parents are from Nicaragua, but we all got similar foods when it comes to be Hispanic.
Yeah, but, you know, living in Miami, you know, you turn Cuban over here, you know, with all that good food, the Cuban sandwiches and all that stuff.
Yeah. By the way, I guess I want to give a shout out to Giovanni, who was asking us the questions to Hector. But I think he will be providing the drinks for the Roman show party, because he has promised us a Flor de Caña bottle for the party. All right. Shout out there to Giovanni. So we're ready to go, man. We're ready to celebrate. What's up?
And what do you think about what Hector said, man? It's pretty serious what he's going through.
You know, as he was talking, I was doing some research, and it's a very serious thing. It takes some time to heal. Doctors recommend even bed rest. You know, it's something that, if I recall, I remember a good friend of mine who got in a car accident, and he had messed up his sternum, and some of the stuff that they had him do is, which that thing hurts a lot from what I understand. They make him do breathing exercises to expand the lungs, since it is the sternum. So it's kind of, like Hector said, it could touch your heart. So by expanding your lungs and doing exercises, you got to breathe like every, you know, 10 breaths or for, you know, maybe 3-4 times a day. And they give you a little machine or a little equipment there. And you got to expand your lungs so your bones can start healing on its own. Because it will heal on its own, but it takes time and it hurts a lot. It's nothing to play around with. So just to hear this guy, that he went out there with that injury.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's it. I owe Hector some carreta after that one.
No, and that's just to like prove how, you know, how well conditioned this guy is, because, you know, he went out there with that injury, lasted 3 rounds, and you know, and he it's not, you know, it's not like he looked like he took some, you know, too much damage. But I mean, that's just, I can't even think about fighting with that pain in your chest, and I don't know. Hopefully he'll heal up soon, quick, and maybe I would really like to see him fight Michael Bisping.
Just because
Bisping was saying so many bad things about him. You know, Mark Munoz is a nice guy, and that would be a really good fight between him and Lombard. But just the fact that Bisping is like another chill son, and I mean, they say some funny stuff, but they, you know, they cross the line at times, you know, and I don't know what his problem is with Lombard, but it would be a hell of a fight.
Yeah, and these are just some of the notes here, just from some of the websites on ehow.com. And it is just some of the diagnosis with the sternal fracture. And it's basically, if you have a blow to the chest and think you might have a sternal fracture or injury, seek medical attention. So, I mean, he could have gotten this stuff. Maybe someone punched him in the chest. He didn't even realize it, and he continued. But they do advise you go to the hospital ASAP. There's nothing to play around with. They provide you with an X-ray and then determine if you do have a broken or fractured rib or fractured sternum. At the same time, other conditions will be tested for as well. And coming to Slack here, because I'm improvising as I read this stuff, but these are just some of the treatments. Obviously, some pain medication like ibuprofen as an anti-inflammatory. Also opt for the mildest prescription pain reliever. Do not expect to have the...
I tell you what, man, he's lucky he's under the UFC, because, you know, they cover up to, I believe it's like $60,000 in medical bills. So anything that he needs to get done, you know, the UFC is going to definitely help him out financially, because all that stuff is not, you know, obviously it's something serious. And you know,
here,
when it's serious, it's not like you just go buy a pill and you're going to be fine in a week.
And here it is. It says, it is believed that the best healing occurs when you are able to breathe and move regularly rather than in a restricted manner. If the fracture is large, surgery could be necessary to stabilize the sternum. This is usually only done if medically necessary to allow breathing and the ability for healing. Not many sternal fractures require surgery. So from what we understand, I don't think he's going to need any surgery. It's just going to take some time, some relaxation, and we'll be seeing Hector back in action in the octagon.
He needs to take a little vacation.
Yeah.
Take a little vacation, take some pictures.
And enjoy some carreta.
Yeah, and enjoy some carreta.
And let's go to a quick break, and we're going to come back with James Head, who also was part of the UFC pay-per-view that Hector was part of in Canada. And he'll tell us a little bit about his winning at that last pay-per-view. And we'll also, right after that, bring in Wagner Holscher here in the program. Stay tuned, and do not change websites.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow.
Hey, this is Jacob Sisteran here, and if you guys really want to listen to some good talk, listen to The Roman Show.
Rudolph Roman here with Bjorn Revney, chairman. Yeah. This is Bjorn from Bellator Fighting Championships. Keep following Rodolfo Roman.
You know, I want to go and get some coffee right now, like a Reza Camilo, but if I do so, I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Yeah, no, but, that stuff is no joke.
Yeah, so, damn, Hector's just like, you know, he just makes me want to go out after and then sit down there and talk to all those Cubans, you know, about the whole anything, you know, just sit back there, talk some politics and some sports with the Cubans over there, like a Reza, and enjoy some coffee. I think I'm going to have to do that, Camilo.
Mom,
you can join me if you like.
Yeah, definitely. Come pick me up.
All right, man. We got lots to talk about here. What a great opportunity. You know, I've never, and listen, I've met you yourself, I've met Hector Camilo. I have never, ever heard Hector speak that way. I'll be honest with you. He opened up so much.
Well, I mean, he said that this whole experience, you know, humbled him a lot. I mean, you know, in my opinion, just, you know, seeing him over here locally in Miami and just getting to interview him over the phone and in person, he's a humble guy. He's just quiet. You know, he's very focused on what he has to do. So people get this vibe off that, like, oh, no, you know, he's nasty, he's mean, he doesn't like to talk. But it's not that. It's just he's just a quiet guy. He keeps to himself, and he's there to do his job, you know?
Absolutely, but wow! I'm telling you, I just, you know, you and I, we've interviewed him several times, but I've never seen him. Heck, he laughed, man. You know what I mean? He was cracking up, and that's a different side of Hector that I personally myself have not seen. All right, so from here on out, Camilo, we're gonna now move on to James Head, who fought on that same pay-per-view card, and he fought against Ryan Ebersol. He defeated him via split decision. The original was actually supposed to fight Claude Patrick, but he ended up taking that fight, and he was victorious over that. And right now, he is currently 2-1 in the UFC. And let's see what it's up next up for him, as he did a great job over there in the UFC 149. As we're reaching out to him, and he's all the way in Oklahoma. So it's one card difference, but nonetheless, we're very appreciative.
Hello.
Here on the Roman Show. Hey, James, how are you? Welcome to the Roman Show, sir. You're on with Rodolfo and Camilo.
What's up?
All right, James. How's it going? First and foremost, congratulations on that victory of yours in that last pay-per-view. How are you feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling good. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Taking a look at this fight, you were originally actually supposed to fight Claude Patrick, and they brought in Brian. Tell me how quickly you made that adjustment in your training.
Man, it was a pretty easy adjustment, you know. Those two fought, you know, I watched that fight a few times preparing for Claude because it was his last fight. So I was familiar with Ebersol. You know, he also fought TJ Wahlberger, who's a buddy of mine. So I watched that fight pretty closely. And it really, you know, I don't really game plan that much for what the other guy's going to do. I try to game plan for what I'm going to do. It wasn't a big change in game plan.
Wow.
James, this is Camilo. James, have you heard any news on who your next opponent might be, or is there somebody in specific that you would like to face?
No, I'm patiently waiting for the UFC to tell me who it is so I can start gearing up and getting ready for the next one. As far as somebody that I'd like to face, I mean, there's so many matchups in the division. You know, just someone that's going to, you know, bring it. You know, I like Matt Riddle. You know, he's going to show up. He's going to put on a hell of a fight. Guys like Matt Brown, just anybody that's really going to show up and give the fans what they want to see. You know, I think that that Ebersol fight was so, you know, just defending the takedowns. It wasn't a very – it's hard to look good against a guy like Ebersol, you know what I mean, because he's so funky. It's hard to get your rhythm going with all the takedown attempts, you know, just shutting that down. And with him, being so good at defending the choke, it was hard to be offensive in that position where my next fight, I'm really looking to open up and get the finish.
Absolutely. And one thing, as far as you said, he's a little rocky, and then you got to pre-adjust yourself in that fight. But considering this guy had over 50 fights, this guy has been around in the game for some time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's definitely a tough guy. You know, he was definitely funky. You know, getting back home and watching the fight tape and watching the broadcast, you know, in between rounds, his corner's telling him to stay awkward, and, you know, he comes out with that cartwheel kick. So he's a hard guy to get your rhythm against because he's so funky. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm looking forward to the next one for sure.
Absolutely. Camilo?
Yeah, James, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, obviously, with the Olympics. You're coming off a victory. What have you been doing on your off time? How do you relax? How do you recover from a big fight?
Well, you know, I have been watching a lot of the Olympics. You know, those athletes, you know, I'm really I really look up to any elite level athlete. You know, especially the Olympians, from the gymnasts to the swimmers to the wrestlers. You know, I just think that anybody that dedicates that much time and effort into something is a very admirable thing. As far as off time, you know, I have a full-time job, so I was back to work the following Tuesday after my fight. Sunday afternoon, the day after my fight, I went whitewater rafting with my family. Really enjoyed that up in the Northern Rockies over in Banff, you know, just a short car ride away from Calgary. So I'm a pretty active guy. I was back in the gym Tuesday, you know, when I got back to the States. So I'm just back to grinding, you know, working and training. That's how I pass my time.
Now, you say you have a full-time job, so what do you do?
I'm a petroleum engineer for a natural gas company, so I drill oil and gas wells.
So how do you know it? How do the coworkers out there? Did most of the coworkers watch the fight and support you over there?
Oh yeah, you know they half of them initially really didn't know what to think about my fighting career, but now, you know, my whole office gets behind me, and it's pretty cool that, you know, they have a big watch party and buy the pay-per-view, and, you know, they all have, you know, critiques, you know, what I should have did, and I laugh it off, and they're used to seeing me with a black eye, or, you know, come in. It's funny, last weekend I went up to Minnesota to visit some family just as a getaway for the weekend, and coming off my last couple fights, I really haven't had any black eyes or real bumps or bruises, you know. I've come out pretty unscathed. And while I was up in Minnesota, my little niece talked me into going tubing behind the boat with her. So I jumped on the tube with her, and we hit a big wave, and she caught me with a nasty elbow, and I have the sweetest black eye I've had in the last 2 years because of my niece. So I'm pretty pumped about it. She was really apologetic, but I told her that I wasn't mad at all. I was proud of her.
So you didn't get a black eye in the cage, but you got it from your niece.
That's right.
Camilo, you going to say something?
Yeah. How do you know, not that you mentioned your niece and you know, being proud of the black eye she gave you. I have a niece as well too, and you know, I think that MMA now, it's at a level that, you know, if they get kids involved, you know, at an early age, we're gonna see some amazing fights. You know, like even in the past, what, three, four years, we've seen MMA evolve. You know, how do you feel about, you know, possibly seeing, you know, your niece or kids getting more and more involved in MMA?
I think that getting them involved in MMA is good. You know, I think that they need to start out in a discipline. Though I don't think that kids need to jump right into MMA. I'm a big proponent of, you know, let's get them involved in judo or jiu-jitsu or wrestling at a young age and let them develop those skills. And, you know, it's fine to, you know, round about. You know, there's kids I know that do it all. You know, they're basically training to become a mixed martial artist by training the different martial arts separately without having to, you know. I think that any time a kid puts on the rules would have to be modified. You know, they have to wear headgear and shin pads and stuff like that if you were going to do a full-on MMA contest, I think, with children. But as far as martial arts, I'm a big proponent of you know, letting kids get involved in that, competing. I think that's the biggest thing, you know, getting out on the mat and just putting yourself out there. I think kids will learn a lot about themselves, you know, being put in positions in a jiu-jitsu tournament or a wrestling match, learning, you know, wins and defeats. I think that's real important for kids. You know, I'm a big supporter of, you know, USA Boxing, amateur boxing. I think the kids coming up through that, you know, you put all these kids in these different disciplines, and then, you know, when they get, you know, a little older, maybe high school, you know, you want to start letting them, you know, put it all together. Then you're going to have kids coming up like, you know, Rory McDonald, who's 23, you know, he does it all. He wasn't, you know, one thing or another. He's a well-rounded martial artist.
You know, that'd be interesting to see. MMA in high school. Heck, in middle school, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, get these kids a good background, and then turn them loose. I'm all for it as long as there's safety, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that the whole, you know, discipline thing is good, and also it will give them some you know, self confidence, and maybe, you know, these bullies will think twice before picking on some kid, you know.
Because
this whole bullying issue is, I think, has been getting out of hand. And since we're talking about MMA and, you know, where it might be, I saw this video. It's kind of viral on YouTube. It's a tag team MMA. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's these guys. They go in there. They're fighting in a ring. It looks like a backyard, and it's sand. And then, you know, you could tag your buddy in. And I've seen some other crazy videos of fights where it's like, you know, one guy against five. I don't know where MMA is going to go.
The one of the bike. You see the one of the bike? There's one.
What's
there's
that?
A cage in the middle. There's a cage in the middle. Two guys are fighting inside the cage while a bike is doing a stunt right over the cage.
That's a circus, man.
But go ahead, Camila.
I, you know, going back to that whole thing, you know, you got the whole, you know, where you can start kids out at an early age, and, you know, it'll give them confidence, you know, all this stuff. And then you got these crazy, you know, MMA freak shows that are going, you know, popping off here and there. Where do you think that MMA is headed? Because, I mean, you know, the UFC has been able to do something that, you know, it was only a dream, you know, and it's to be on Fox. And now, you know, it's gonna get bigger. People say that they, you know, MMA should be in the Olympics. Who knows? I mean, where do you think that MMA is gonna be, like, you know, in the next 5 years?
I think as far as it in the Olympics, that's a stretch. You know, then you're going, it's like you're almost winding the clock back to the old UFC days where it's a tournament style setting, which, you know as well as I do that just doesn't work anymore because how brutal our sport is. But in 5 years, in terms of, you know, the growth, UFC is doing such a great job of, you know, putting it on that level. You know, you watched the Fox last weekend, and they have the robots and stuff. It's basically an NFL broadcast, and that's the kind of level that they're trying to get on. I think that's the kind of level that they can achieve just because of the growth of the sport worldwide. You know, the NFL is pretty much, you know, North America. You know, we go over and they might have a game in London, you know, the first week of the year or something crazy. But the UFC, you know, they're broadcasting to a lot wider spectrum, you know, as far as they're going to China, they're going to Brazil, they're going to Sweden, they're going all over the world. And that's only going to get bigger and bigger. And so the audience base for martial arts is enormous compared to, you know, football. So I think that the UFC has potential in the next 5 to 10 years to overtake everything. You know, the NFL is the most profitable professional sports organization in the world, and I think that the rate that the UFC is growing, it can overtake it.
Absolutely, that's great. So, James, did you take a little break after your victory, and, you know, how are we preparing for the next fight?
nothing has been said, as you said, but what's next for you, man?
Man, like I said, I'm just I'm excited to I got another 4-5 deal and extension on my contract, so I was happy with that, and I'm ready to get the next fight inked and start training. As far as downtime, you know, I had several friends from back home in Illinois and buddies from Oklahoma come up for the fight, so you know, we threw back some cervezas and drank a little tequila and had a good time Saturday night, you know, but I'm back into the grind, so I'm just enjoying it.
So you're going to be watching the fights this Saturday?
Yeah, you know it.
What do you think about the main fight, the rematch between Frankie and Henderson?
Man, Henderson is a beast, but you can never count Frankie Edgar out. I mean, that guy defies the odds always, you know. He's like Rocky. He just keeps coming back. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to root against either one of those guys, but I think Ben is just going to be too big and too strong for Frankie again and probably win another decision.
Yeah, it was Dana White said that if Frankie wins this fight, Ben Henderson is not going to get a rematch. He's, you know, he'll get some other fight, but he will not get a rematch. I think they're tired of rematches in that division.
Oh, Frankie Edgar is the king of rematches, isn't he? I mean, he's fought the same guy back-to-back, I think, for his last three fights.
Yeah, he fought BJ Penn twice, and then he had to fight Green Maynard twice. And now he's got Ben Henderson twice. So, yeah, definitely it's going to be a good card this weekend.
And that division is so stacked. You know, there's so many tough 155ers that could be up there, you know, vying for that title. So it's hard to justify, you know, rematch after rematch after rematch.
Absolutely. Well, James, thanks so much for taking some time and speaking to us. We'd love to have you back here again as you get closer to your fight. Where can people follow you, man, and whether on Facebook or on Twitter?
Yeah, my Twitter handle and Facebook handle are the same. It's just facebook.com/djameshead or twitter.com/djameshead or @djameshead. So hit me up. I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. And anything you'd like to say or add?
No, I just appreciate you guys taking the time and having me on the show. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Awesome, James. We'll do it again, my man. We'll be in contact. And good luck with the next fight when we find out the opponent.
That was great. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my man.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good night.
Bye.
All right, Randall. By the way, all right, great interview there. We had a lot of smoothies interviews today.
Yeah, man. Yeah, these guys are. Everybody is in a good mood right now, man. It's
just
probably a full moon or something.
Tequilas and cervezas, not cervezas, but cervezas. You know, we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, did you hear that news that if Ben Henderson loses, he's not gonna get the rematch?
Wow, no, that you're breaking in right now.
Yeah, man. I saw it earlier. You know, right before we started the show, and. I saw that. I mean, do you think that's something fair? I mean, I understand that there's so many, like, rematches in that division and, you know, that they need to move on, you know. But if they go to a decision and Frankie wins by decision, there's going to be an uproar if Ben Henderson doesn't get, you know, his rematch.
Yeah, it is. There is going to be it's going to be awkward there not to see that he gets a rematch there to Tech. Edgar got one. Why is Henderson not going to get one? This is not fair. But
yeah, I mean, we got to see, I guess, how the fight ends, because if it's a knockout, then yeah, obviously move on. But either way, and I agree with him. Well, with James, you can't count Frankie out. You know, I think Ben Henderson is going to win. I'm gonna announce it. I think Ben Henderson is going to defend his title, but you know, you can't count out Frankie Edgar. You know, he's. He was the champ for a reason.
Right. I think it's going to be a close one again. You know, I really think it's going to be a close one. And you might never know. There might be a surprise here, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and the other fight, Donald Cerrone and Melvin Guillard,
oh, yeah.
That's going to be that's probably going to be fight of the night right there.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. So great stuff. We're going to go now into Wagner Osha. Let's go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with more action here on The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Jacob's sister, Ann, here. And if you guys really want to listen to some good talk, listen to The Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from, MMAtothemax.net. From where to see the big fight to where is the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMAtothemax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You are listening to The Roman Show.
All right, Camille, we're back here with more action of The Roman Show. We've had a stacked program. And now we're moving on to Wagner Osha, a former UFC fighter. He last fought Jonathan Brookins. And now, well, what is he up to? We're going to find out right now. One of the local websites here reported he is set to fight Mike Bruno in Fort Lauderdale at the Fight Time Promotions event. We're going to get the exact details on that. Hey, Wagner, how are you? And sorry there for the delay. Thank you so very much for joining us on The Roman Show.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
Good, good, Wagner. You're on with Rodolfo and Camilo here on The Roman Show. First and foremost, Wagner, it was stated in a website down here in South Florida that you're scheduled to fight Mike Bruno at Fight Time. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'm going to be fighting him November 2nd, if I'm not mistaken.
So it's not for this, it's not in August, but it's for November?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, Wagner, I remember that Mike Bruno was on the show here, and he mentioned you, and you heard about it, and you stated something on Facebook. Is there a sort of animosity towards you guys? Can you kind of set the record straight? Because he stated that you wanted to fight him.
I never even thought of fighting Mike Bruno up until he started running his mouth about me for no good reason. His jealousy and his envy of me getting to, you know, being able to get to the fight in the UFC drove him berserk, apparently. And he started running his mouth while I was, you know, had opponents set and fights, you know, scheduled, you know, maybe a year ago. And he was, you know, he was, I guess, upset because he thought he deserved to be there. And, you know, I got to be there. And, you know, I had nothing against him up until that point. And I never, ever even, you know, even considered fighting the guy because I used to train with the guy back in the day and used to be kind of friends with him. But he took it beside himself to start running his mouth about me and saying he wanted to fight me and that he wanted me to lose and that he wanted all this negative attention towards in my direction. So I was like, yeah, as soon as I you know, was released by the UFC, that fight became the first thing on my mind. You know, that's the guy I want to punch in the face next. So.
And how close a victory against Mike Bruno, how close would it get you back into the UFC?
I don't know how close it would get me. I mean, he's got a decent record. He's won 4 fights straight. Even though he's beat guys with losing records, he's still got 4 fight win streak. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where it would put me. I'm not really worried about it. You know, they told me, you know, to go out there and get some fights and come, and then they'll see me when they see me. And I'm not worried about what they want or what they don't want. I just want to fight, you know. That's what I started for. And getting in the UFC is, was one of the goals, you know, from my end. But I think, honestly, I need to, you know, sharpen up my skills. And by fighting guys like Mike, who's going to be a good tool sharpener.
And Wagner, I have a question for you. This is Camilo. I don't understand, like, why did they release you from the UFC? Normally, you know, they'll release guys after, like, you know, three losses in a row or 4. But
I have no idea. I think I feel like I got a short end of the stick because, you know, I got a short notice fight against a top 10 contender, you know, Donald Cerrone. And I fought 3 rounds against a guy with 2 weeks' notice. And then I got a fight that was scheduled, you know, with Cody McKenzie, who I beat and who is still there in the UFC and is 1-3. And then I got another fight with Jonathan Brookins, which I wasn't supposed to fight Jonathan. I was supposed to fight somebody else, and they put Jonathan in the way, and I went and fought anyways, you know, with no questions asked, and dropped weight classes. And they, I don't know, they released me. I can't tell you why they do things they do, you know, that they run their business, you know, the way they do, and who knows.
That's, I mean, that, how does that work? I mean, are they not supposed to tell you, listen, you know, we're not happy with your performance or something, or they, can they just, you know, just say, you know what, you're out, you know, there's no excuse, just my.
They have the power to do whatever they want. They,
wow,
if they want to release somebody, they, you know, look, they release guys who were, you know, top guys in their organization, like, you know, Nate Marquardt and Anthony Rumble Johnson, these guys, you know, I mean, yeah, these guys did things, but they can release who they want, and they can hire who they want as they please, and they're not the answer to nobody.
And how were you released? Did they tell you personally? Did they give you a letter?
Honestly, I found out through my manager first. That was the first time I ever heard it, and then it's all over the internet. You know, people, I don't know, their sites, websites, yes, but they post those kind of things on.
Right. And Wagner, now prior to obviously joining the UFC, you fought here in South Florida for several times. In Bellator, then you went out to Strikeforce. So down here, you're very well known. You train out there with Team Popovich, where you train and you also teach great classes over there. You guys got a great group of young guys. I first seen some of the amateur guys that you got going out there, great stuff. And you guys pack houses. But there's a lot of fighters down here that wanted a piece of you. But once he left the UFC, why did you decide to fight until November?
I took a break because, you know, the last year and a half or so, I focused a lot on my training. And I also, like I said, you said, I own a gym and I teach full time. You know, I wanted to take some time to teach at the school and build my school so I can, not only, you know, not try to just make a living off of fighting, because that doesn't pay as well as it should, you know. And, you know, I wanted to you know, have something set for the future, you know. So teaching and having my gym going in the right direction was my priority. And then, and also wanted to take a break, a little bit of training, man. I put a lot of effort in to try to do well and get ready and be ready for be a UFC fighter, you know. And then when I got released, I was like, you know what? Maybe that all that energy that I focused there, maybe I focused it wrong. And, you know, I took a step back and went back to teaching. And then now I feel like, you know, I'm happy again and I want to fight. So, you know, it's different.
Well, one thing I noticed from the guys that you train is that it helps you out as well, not only just training for yourself, but when you teach other guys, you kind of learn from your own mistakes. How beneficial
you get better that
to
way.
Be a trainer? Yeah, I mean, tell us about that. How does it help you being a trainer, a coach, and then being a fighter at the same time, and how does it help your fight game and the personal level?
It helps, you know, it helps correct your technique, and helps you, you know, it helps in everything, you know, helps in always, you know, life and training and getting involved with different people and just being a community, you know, being part of the community and teaching different people how to do the things you did, you know. And I had a lot of, when I started training, there was a lot of people that had the same dreams as me and, you know, that wanted to do the same things. And a lot of guys always, you know, people out there, there's a lot of people that are going to tell you that you're not going to be able to get where you want to get. And, you know, and I kind of thrived off those people, you know, and I hate seeing people that want to have a future, and now especially with MMA being so popular, you know, wanting to do something and having people tell them no. So I feel like I'm the opposite. You know, I always tell people, man, you can do whatever you want. So you just got to put your mind to it, and you got to train, and you got to chase your dreams the right way. So I like being a positive influence, and having a school and teaching people is a great way to do it.
Great, Camilo.
Yeah, and you know, going back to the whole fact that now you're focusing on the school and getting back in that feeling of wanting to fight again. For now, your next fight will be against Mike Bruno. You said that you're not too sure, I guess, why all the beef came about. Do you feel that maybe fighters they start calling, you know, guys who made it to the UFC out just because they, maybe in some way in their mind, they say, you know what, if I beat this guy who was in the UFC, that'll put me on the map.
I'm sure that's what Mike Bruno's thinking, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that think like that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, because there's a lot of good guys out there that are fighting and beating some big names, and they're still fighting these local shows, you know, and I think, you know, it's all about who you know, in all reality. If you really want to get somewhere, you gotta know what doors to knock on and how to get them open. Mike Bruno is definitely a guy who could have been fighting in the UFC a long time ago. Think about it. He's a you know, well-rounded athlete, but, you know, he's living in his own little world, so his chances of him getting there, win, lose, or draw against me, I don't think it's going to matter for him.
Absolutely. Well, Wagner, where can people follow you as far as to keep up to date with, obviously, your training over there at Team Popovich and anything that's going on in your fight life?
I have a website that's related to my school that goes to my Twitter and my Facebook. It's WagnerRochaMartialArts.com. You know, I would recommend you going on there. I post videos on there all the time, instructionals, simple little things. Also, you know, Twitter, you know, I have that, and Facebook, you know, I'm pretty active on it, I would say. So you definitely can get some information on there. And, you know, also get some information about this fight coming up. I'm going to be posting up some videos of training with at my school and with Pavel's school and with some of my training partners like Edson Barboza, guys that are in the UFC currently. So.
And Wagner, aside from Mike Bruno, who else do you think that would be good competition and can help out your career down here in South Florida? Are you going to stick to the new weight class, or you're going to go to lightweight? I mean, what are you going to do here?
I'm probably going to just fight at 55 from here on out. I didn't feel comfortable dropping down to 45. I mean, even though I made it there and I thought I made it pretty easy, I just didn't feel comfortable staying near that weight for training. Didn't feel right. So I didn't like putting that much stress on myself. I'm going to stick around 55 and walk around the natural weight that I am. I train better this way too, I think. And as far as people to fight, I mean, there's so many people out there, and it's not personal, it's business, you know. And I really don't have any names in mind. I just want to fight people with good records and somebody that has, you know, something to offer me, you know, so, like, you know, an opponent with credentials, you know. I don't want to fight guys and... I don't want to fight anybody that's got a losing record. That doesn't make any sense to me. But Mike Bruno is the only guy on my mind right now that I want to fight. I'm going to say his name nice and loud. Everybody else, I mean, I got nothing but respect for everybody that fights MMA. You know, especially in South Florida, a lot of good athletes down here.
Right, because I mean, one of the names that someone had tweeted to me was Luis Palomino, who's on a roll right now.
That guy's very tough, man. I watched him fight, and I was impressed. He's one that I can say should be in the UFC, and it's not because of connections. You know, I think the guy is really talented, man. I saw him fight Jesus Capocante down here in South Florida, and I know Jesus for a long time, and I've watched Palomino fight for a long time too, and I was so impressed by that fight, man. I thought that fight was awesome.
No, the one about against Jay-Z.
Yeah, Jay-Z against in the CFA card. I thought that was a really good event and a lot of good fights. And like I said, I think I don't know what's going on, but Palomino should be in the big show.
Lassie, and I know that the last post that I remember was, and I'm taking it here verbatim. I know it's not the exact same words, but you kind of said to Mike Bruno at the time where you were in the UFC and he came on the program and he called you out. Something saying that, you know, keep my name out of your mouth and go back to your kiddie pool.
Yeah, I want him to keep his mouth shut. You know, he's swimming in a little pond. You know, he's a big fish in a little pond. But now there's not room for him anymore. I'm gonna kick that fish out.
Well, strong words there from Mr. Rocha, man. Strong words, and I definitely want to see that fight between you guys, because definitely you two guys are good, and there you guys are gonna deliver. Wagner, thank you so very much, man, for taking your time and speaking to us, and again, we apologize for calling you late.
No big deal, man. It's I'm awake, so good. I wanted to get on here and get some words out there. I hope I hope to see everybody down there on November 2nd on the fight. You know, everybody that listens to the show. And if you don't listen, I don't know what you're doing. You should be.
Wagner, thank you so very much, man. And again, make sure you follow Wagner. He's on Facebook and on Twitter to keep up to date with everything he's doing, preparing for his fight in November over there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Wagner, thank you so very much. Many blessings. And anytime you want to come on the show, feel free to just holler at me.
Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
You too, my man. Thank you. Bye-bye. Man, Camilo, tonight's show, it's been hot. It's been funny.
Yeah. Yeah, good show tonight, definitely, man.
People being called out and, you know, Hector explaining as far as his injury. James Head explaining that possibly having MMA, say, in high school sports and obviously in the Olympics and so forth. So, well, to all those guys that missed the Hector Lombard interview, don't worry about it. We got you covered because it's going to be in the archives. And just as soon as we wrap up the show, it'll be on RodolphoRoman.com. Make sure to tweet it and send it to everyone, to the world. Let's get it out there because, again, I want to re-emphasize that I've never seen Lombard the way he spoke. And by the way, Camilo, we're working on it. But, yes, we're going to have some coffee with Hector in La Carreta possibly next week. So make sure you look out for a little YouTube video on that. See a different side of Hector, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, definitely. It was really good talking to Hector. He seems like he's like you said, different in a good way.
Yeah, very humbled, Hector. And you know, already on Facebook, they're voicing their opinion. Some are against him and this and that, and you know, you're always gonna get that negative vibe. But give the man some credit, man. You know, he went out there hurt. Doctor didn't even know.
Yeah.
That. He had this after his fight. You know, but one thing that, obviously he had this injury prior to that. Doctors don't really do any checkups as far as x-rays or anything. And that's the only way he can figure out if he had this injury. So
yeah.
There's no way that you can say, oh, well, you know, they have doctors prior to the fight. Why didn't they say anything prior to that? Well, that's a simple reason. They don't do any x-rays prior to a fight. They do your blood work. You know, make sure that you're all right physically. And they do that by checking your physical being as far as movements that you do. But they don't do any internal investigations such as an x-ray or an MRI.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Any people that went out there, they say, oh, well, why didn't a doctor say this? Well, that's the reason why. Because they don't do that. And you yourself, Camilo, we've seen it at several fights. That's what goes on. They do the blood work first and make sure your eyesight is right or your direction, your coordination is right to make sure that you're in good shape to fight.
I mean, and any like real good organization, any event, any promotion that does their job right, you'll see that happening before and after the fight. You know, they'll check out the fighters. I'm really sure that everything's okay. You know, fighters, for the most part, when they go into fight, they, you know, they'll have a like an insurance waiver thing. So if anything happens, you know, they're covered or you know whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, and injuries are always going to happen. You know, you hear some fighters say that you never go into a fight 100%. You always get banged up, and especially now, you know, with all these changes that have been going on to a lot of fight cards because of, you know, fighters getting injured while training. And it's become because it's the fighters have gotten to a whole new level. They're not training at camps where there's, you know, one or two guys that are good and they can come, you know, maybe once or twice a week. Now these fighters are training with, you know, a whole stable of fighters that are constantly there. They're different. They're all, you know, a lot stronger, better, improved. So, you know, the popularity of the sport is there. It's proof that, you know, these fighters are getting hurt because their training partners are evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh yeah. Welcome. And tying in this whole injury and stuff. Rory McDonald was out. He got cut. You know, training. He had 34 or 38 stitches, so he's not going to be fighting BJ Penn. But GSP is back. He's been training full.
The Jacob Adam. Saw that one.
Who?
Jean-Claude Van Damme. He was training with GSP.
Oh, for real? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I had it over to Twitter. I posted the video. Jean-Claude Van Damme was in his cap. He was taking some kicks, and GSP was right next to him.
Oh, my God. So we had Steven Seagal training with Lyoto and Anderson Silva. Now we got Jean-Claude Van Damme with GSP.
Hey, well, give credit to Jean-Claude Van Damme. That guy is really good, you know. And he had, let's say, I believe it was the Muay Thai that he did, I think it was, prior to his acting career.
This guy
was for real. This guy is no joke. This guy, and the guy is like over 50. Frankly, you know, he had some issues with drugs, but the guy looks great in shape. The guy can kick. I mean, even GSP, you'll see in that video, it's like a 40-second video, but you see GSP's face like, whoa.
Yeah.
The guy's flexible as hell. The guy still does a freaking split.
Yeah.
20-year-old can't even do that.
I'm waiting for the fighter that says that they're going to be training with Chuck Norris, you know, especially now that the movie, what is it, the Expendables?
Yeah, Expendables.
Expendables 2 is coming out. That movie
yeah.
looks crazy. They got, you know,
yeah.
everybody in there from Jet Li, Chuck Norris, Bruce Willis. Are, you know, and do you think that these fighters, I mean, are actually, you know, improving, training with these stars, these, you know, Steven Seagal, he invented the front kick, and now, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme might be, I don't know what he's teaching GSP.
Well, you got to remember, when for example, when they coordinate fights in movies, they bring these specialists, these martial artists. Now, the moves they do in movies are all flashy, of course. Can you do it in MMA? Yes. Will it be risky? Yes. But,
I mean, that's what Kung Lee does.
Huh?
That's what Kung Lee does. He did that in movies, and he's one of the guys that actually can do those crazy kicks inside the octagon.
But
drink.
He's confident about it, you see? And then, well, it's like, let's go back to Sun and Anderson Silva. You know, when the heck are you going to see Sun do one of those piggyback elbows? Never, right? But he took a risk. You know, maybe he learned it. I mean, sure, he didn't learn it from, like, a Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme. But it's things like that that you can learn from some of these guys, like a Chuck Norris or from a Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, hey, you know, try this. Remember, it's kind of like a chess game in MMA. You know, if the other guy is out there in La La Land, you can hit one of those and you can knock him out. Let's go back at the Anthony Pettis when he knocked out with a whole Matrix kick. Who the heck would have expected that?
Yeah. Even though Henderson says, who was expecting a kick? You know, I wasn't expecting that.
Right. It's just instinct. And you just do these things. You know it. You train your body to do these things, and they could just come at any moment. And if you connect, the guy's gone.
Yeah.
So I think, is it cheesy? It's kind of like cheesy, but at the same time, you know, you're learning things that you don't learn, say, from a Muay Thai guy or from a wrestling trainer or anything like that, because these guys have different styles that they've incorporated. I mean, for God's sake, I mean, just take a look at the whole Batman, the Dark Knight Rises fighting scene. You know, you're not going to see this stuff in MMA, but they threw a Superman punch in that fight between Batman and Bane. So, again, some of those things, can you use it? But it'll be risky.
In the most recent round table, I think it was on the show UFC Tonight, they had Tito Ortiz and Dominic Cruz, Randy Couture, and they were talking about the evolution of MMA, and I'm not sure if it was Tito or Dominic Cruz who said, you know, you watch these movies, and you see all these fantasy moves, and then, you know, years pass by, and then you start seeing them, you know, like the front kick or the crane kick that you used to watch on movies, and now they're seeing it in actual rings. Who knows what we're going to see in the next 5-10 years? That right now we think, oh, no, that's only in movies.
Yep, that's true. You never know. Well, Camilo, we got a short time, but let's go ahead and wrap up real quickly. But briefly, I want to go as far as some of the news that's happening in the world of MMA, and that's the one-year suspension of Christine Cyborg Santos. Well, it's coming close to an end now, and there's word that they want to move her down into the bantamweight division, meaning she could get a chance at, well, currently right now, the champion, Ronda Rousey. She will fight Sarah Coffin at the Strikeforce coming up. So they're talking about moving her to the bantamweight. Your opinion on this? You think it'll be a right move for Santos because there's no opponent in her current division?
Yeah, well, today I was in the press conference for the Strikeforce fight, you know, the Ronda Rousey and Sarah Coffin fight coming up. and Cyborg's name kept on coming up. Scott Cox said that, you know, right now, yes, they have to meet up with her, talk to her, figure out what they're going to do. She is under contract with them. But most likely, I guess, we're going to see her going down. From what I understood, though, not from today, but from a news, you know, a couple of months ago, I guess it was, I thought that they were just going to make one division in Strikeforce. You know, everybody, all the women were just going to be there, and they were going to, like, build up the whole division. That's what I had heard. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, we'd have to wait. We had Misha Tate here last week, and she stated that, you know, it's just a matter of time till we see women's MMA in the UFC. So maybe what you just said could be accurate, and, you know, they'll just move one weight class in the UFC. And I'm sure Dana White would like to see that, because there's been a big uproar with the women's MMA. Just look at Invicta FC. A lot of people are following the company, and they're only in their second show, but everyone's talking about it. And you know, one thing about the ladies, Camilo, they bring it, man. Every single fight, from the top to the bottom, these girls, they go all in. They give it 110%. I've never seen a boring woman's fight. I'll be honest. I've never seen a boring woman's fight. They always come to play.
You know, that comment that you just made, that you've never seen a boring fight in women's MMA, that was made today in the phone conference, and it's true. And what you said about the Invicta FC, the president, Shannon Knapp, she's, you know, she saw this as a platform for women, you know, and we're going to see the development of the divisions thanks to this organization. And I think for the next event, she's trying to do some type of tournament.
It's not a rumor. They're going to have a tournament. It's going to happen. That's what they're working on now. They're working on that. Currently, I know that, well, I believe it was McMahon who won. She's going to fight for a title, from what I understand. Well, we're working on getting our Shannon Knapp soon, so she'll explain the whole 9 yards. But yeah, October 6th, I think they're working on that tournament that you stated. And I know there will be a title shot on that card, for sure. She said it. That there will be a title fight on that night. So,
yeah,
already
yeah,
the
yeah.
ladies are going to be getting that.
Yeah, she wants to crown a champ.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So, and it's true. I mean, I've never seen a boring fight. Even the Gina Carano, let's say, for example, which was one of the most watched women's MMA, the first MMA, women's MMA on a big MMA fight card. They were the main event, and it was exciting, surely, you know, Santos, you know, annihilated poor Carano, but heck, everybody was anticipating, and everyone was rooting for the underdog, which was Carano, but, you know, Santos, she's just that darn good, so let's see how she comes back with this whole, the enhancements that she was using, which, mind you, we had a lady here, one of the fighters that were saying, you know what, it's not how you perform in the cage, when you take enhancers, it's the way you train. That's where it matters. It's not like if you take these steroids right before you enter the cage. You know, you've been taking this stuff for, like, say, 4 months prior to the fight. And that prepares you. But it's not that you see the effects that night. You see the effects that are in the results during the workout. So it was a good comment from her, right? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that Dana White has been getting a lot of backlash because I guess now he's for TRT treatment. And, you know, before he was against it, and there's fighters that, you know, like Ayin and BJ Penn, who's, you know, who are trying to say, yeah, no, the fighters shouldn't be using any of that stuff. And it's always controversial. And Christine Cyborg, you know, obviously she's trying to defend her case, saying that, you know, it was for medical reasons and, you know, whatever.
That's right. And Camilo, Michael Krokop, he's obviously retired from the UFC, but not from MMA. He wants to continue fighting in MMA. And also, the little fluffy story here, but UFC Vice President of Community Relations at Reed Harris and former UFC light heavyweight champion Forrest Griffin were among a small group of UFC officials on hand for Tuesday's groundbreaking ceremony for the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Southern Nevada. So the UFC, they're doing a little something positive there for the gay and lesbian community. And John Jones,
has become now the global face of MMA. Camilo, maybe one day you or me can have a shoe line or something from Nike, because I'd love to. For sure. You know what I mean? We could have the bicep shoes or something like that. But Jones is it, man. He's going to be wearing that swoosh sign everywhere he walks. He's going to be representing MMA using Nike. Anderson Silva already does it in his country, as well as a sexy Yama. Yoshihiro Akiyama does the same thing, but Jones will be the first MMA fighter to do it on a global status. So start picking up the John Jones shoes, man.
Yeah, and you know, John Jones was also the first fighter to be sponsored by the UFC. You know, as
yep.
you know, their shirts, they normally have, Head Rush or Affliction or, you know, Bad Boy or something. But John Jones was the first one to be sponsored with a UFC shirt for his fight
yeah.
night. And he, not that long ago, in the 19th of May, He had a little issue, you know, partying too hard, and he caught a DUI. But now, you know, everything's cleared up. He's going to have 6 months of a suspended license, and he had to pay a fine of $1,000. But John Jones is clear. He's ready to go back to training, and hopefully we'll see another amazing fight against Dan Henderson.
We'll see that. And lastly, man, to finish off, India Super Fight League, which we had one of the officials from the Super Fight League all the way in India. They've come up with a similar show, a reality show, kind of like The Ultimate Fighter, but it's called the SFL Challengers, and it features two teams of eight fighters apiece, one team being all women and the other being men, and the fighters all train together and live in one ginormous house, sleeping in one big room with 16 beds and no walls, in hopes of becoming the next big thing in the Super Fight League in India. So India becoming a big hub there for mixed martial arts. And, you know, with that being said, Camilo, I think it's just a matter of time till we'll be seeing MMA in the Olympics. You and I were talking about before the show that someone asked Dana White about having the Olympics, having MMA in the Olympics, and he said, sure, why not? You know, you got wrestling, you got judo, you got taekwondo, you got boxing, and all of those arts are practiced in MMA, so why not? But then the reporter asked him, well, why don't you try doing something about it? And he said, well, I got other blank to deal with. So
yeah.
that's our
yeah. And plus, you know, Dana White's plan is to do like a World Cup, you know, like
right.
a soccer World Cup of MMA. But you know yeah. what? The whole MMA and the Olympics, it's something that I want to see. And the more and more I talk to people, the more and more they burst my bubble. I talked to Marcus Brimage, and he said, you know what? Before we even consider the Olympics, I mean MMA in the Olympics, we need to figure out how we're going to deal with these judges and these referees,
right.
you know, in our fights. And then, you know, we talked to Ariel Helwani. He also said, you know what? There's too many issues. I don't see it. It's something that, who's going to, you know, I guess, organize this, because there's, you know, there's so many fighters in the divisions. How do you determine it? You know, maybe the guy had a bad night. It's a whole bunch of different stuff. But, I hate to say it, but I think it's going to be a while before
yeah,
we see
be some time.
MMA.
And it's not some of the rules, Camilo, to be part of a sport in the Olympics is you have to be practiced in four continents, which surely MMA has done that. But it also has to be practiced in over 75 countries.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're at that stage yet. I could be wrong, but
what you said about India, you know, Dana White he's been saying a lot that they're cutting deals over there to do.
Well, they're already airing their stuff over there already.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, we got ONE FC this month that's going to be doing something in the Philippines. So it's, I mean, there's that whole area is getting big over there.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Well, Camilo, final thought, man, before we go?
Nah, bro, I appreciate, you know, being on the Roman Show. It was a good night, a lot of news, a lot of good conversation with these fighters, and I'm glad to hear that that Lombard has been now in the path of recovery, because what he has is something that could have turned out a lot worse.
No doubt about that, man. And I'm sure he'll get better real soon, and we'll see him in action. Guys, next Tuesday, make sure you join us here on the Roman Show. We're going to have none other. I got to check the schedule. Sometimes I get lost with the whole people we're going to have. But next week, next Tuesday at 9:30 p.m., we're going to have Kurt Bauer, former president of, well, not former. He at one point he was, MLW president, and adult actress, Camilo, Sarah J. on the program. Many men were very excited about that interview. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it, but yeah, Sarah J. Spoke about her profession. Imagine bringing her to career day to school.
I'm going to have to look for that interview and have to listen to it.
I don't know if bring her to career day were pretty cool stuff. But she'll be on the program along with a local model down here. She's going to be promoting some of her work. And then the next week, Wednesday, for the MMA show, we're going to have Abel Trujillo, who was just signed. He competed in CFA, but now he's going to be fighting for the UFC. And hopefully, man, as we get closer, we're going to get some details on CFA to see what's going on with them. Well, Camilo, man, and what do you guys got Sunday?
Sunday, man, for all those people who speak Spanish or very fluent and understand it, they can check us out in El Octagono at 2 p.m. To UniverseMiami.com or Caliente.fm. We're going to be having a special guest, Efraín Cintrón, who's going to be participating in Fight Card, Fight Time 11. Also, Tarek Safadine. I always sacrifice his. I murder his last name. Tarek Seferin, who's going to be fighting in the Strikeforce fight card in the Rousey versus Kaufman. And hopefully we'll have Misha Tate via telephone and Anthony Rumble Johnson, who's going to be fighting in Titan FC 24 on the 24th. And obviously, you know, I'll be joined with my partner Randall Villafane and Andrea Calle.
Sweet. So let's do that. Again, follow esa persona que escribe en español las artes marciales mixtas este domingo a las 2 de la tarde en octagonal.com or Miami Universe, which I know that website's been picking up a lot of buzz lately, man. And,
yes.
You know, they get to see our faces. So, Camila, I know you got to sharpen up your tools, your skin. You got to shave a little bit and look good for the camera.
No, bro, you know, I have a face for radio. Where people, you know, don't necessarily have to see me. But now, you know, in the studio we have cameras because, you know, we're streaming the video live on Universe Miami, so I have to try to shave it every now and then.
Yeah. Mind you know, I was walking in the store yesterday, and in one of the aisles I looked at Edge shaving cream, and surely enough, there he was, Dana White. Shaving cream bottle.
Oh, yeah, you know what? It's funny that you're talking about shaving and beards and stuff. Ben Henderson is trying to get votes on his Twitter to see if he should shave his beard because he was running and he went to the open workouts. He was rushing from one place to another, and he didn't get a chance to shave. So he's got this, like, brushy beard going on. So now he's trying to get some votes to see if he should shave it or show up to the fight with the beard.
Oh, there you go. You have an opportunity to vote. To shave his beard on via Twitter. It reminds me what Roy Nelson was doing not too long ago. Was it Roy Nelson?
Roy Nelson.
Something like that. Welcome in, man. That's pretty much it. Again, if you missed the interview of Hector Lombard, James Head, or Wagner Osho, don't worry about it. We got you covered. Head on over to RodolphRoman.com. You'll listen to it in its entirety in just a few minutes. And make sure you follow us on Twitter at RomanDH, hashtag RomanShow, retweet it, share it. Facebook it, tweet it, LinkedIn it, Instagram it, whatever you got to do. And follow Camilo in El Octagono, at El Octagono on Twitter and also on Facebook. With that being said, man, good night. And I'm looking forward. I'm sure you'll be joining me for that coffee, right, Camilo, with Hector?
That's right, man. Can't wait.
Awesome. And Gio, I'm not forgetting, man, you owe us that bottle of Florida Gaña. We're going to be enjoying that stuff. Come the 1 year anniversary of the Roman Show, which we're still figuring out the whole details as far as where we're gonna have this stuff. But I'm sure you'll be out there, right, Camilo?
Of course, man. I wouldn't miss it.
We're gonna have a lot of fun. All right, Camilo. That being said, good night, guys. And again, follow us on Twitter at RomanDH, RodolphRoman.com. Till next week, guys. Enjoy the rest of the week and a weekend. Be cool, be safe, don't drink and drive, and don't text and drive. Till then, good night, guys.